And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn. Summer-like temperatures are coming back after a chilly day yesterday, although, as you just heard Tracy say, they've now adjusted the forecast a little bit, and they say we may see some thunderstorm activity late this afternoon instead of waiting until tonight. So we'll see what happens, but nice and warm out there, 68 degrees right now. We have a good show lined up for you today. We're going to be talking about a wonderful program that will take a young person from our area out to the southwestern part of the country to hunt. And we'll tell you all about that in just a moment. A little bit later on the program, we're going to be chatting by telephone with Lorna Graham. Some of you may remember a story, and it goes back several years now, about two judges out in the eastern part of Pennsylvania who were involved in a scandal where they were supposedly accepting money to assign young people to a couple of adjudicated residents, one of which is in northern Butler County, by the way, and is still there. Lorna Graham has been investigating this story, and she has a lot of interesting facts to talk about. In fact, she's written a book on it called Presumption of Guilt, How the Kids for Cash Scandal Trampled Justice. So we'll see what she has to say about that. She's been looking into it for quite a few years. And also today, a brief chat. We have a few minutes to chat with Dr. Michael Seiden on Medicare and drugs, some changes that could be coming. And anybody that's on Medicare, or if you are adult children who have parents on Medicare, you'll be interested in that. But first of all, we say hello to the Sheriff of Butler County. Mike Sloop is here. Sheriff, good to see you.
Always good to be here with you, David.
And also Deputy Walt Widenhofer is here, too. Walt, nice to have you here as well.
Thanks for having us.
We want to talk about a really wonderful program that, Walt, you first came to know about because your late son was involved in going on one of these exciting adventure hunting trips, right?
Yeah, my son was the part of the founding reasons for Outdoor Experience for All out in Arizona. It's a group of professional guides and hunters that have a purpose or a mission to take youth with life-threatening illnesses and diseases out to experience things that they normally wouldn't get to. Mm-hmm. My son was fortunate enough to go on a couple hunts with them. He did an elk hunt in Sedona, Arizona, and then he did an antelope hunt up in Flagstaff, Arizona. So they were great experiences for him, and he battled a form of brain cancer, so getting out and having those accomplishments were life-changing events for him. So we thought that we could do something for Butler County youth similar to what was done for Tom. So I approached Sheriff Mike Sloop about it and said, hey, can we do something here, change a Butler County youth's life? And he was all on board. So we're trying to find a youth, which we think we have, and now we're going to try to put the program together into phase two and do some fundraising to get things moving forward.
And Sheriff, you were pretty keen on this as you heard about it, right?
Yeah, it was, to me, it was more like a make-a-wish for a child that, you know, can't do anything for themselves that way, I suppose, and that we as a community could come together and provide something really special for a young person. And, yeah, this was a no-brainer for me, absolutely.
So your son, Tom, got to experience this before he died, before he passed away. Now you want to help somebody else do it too, huh?
Yes, I think it's great to honor Tom's memory by doing something like this. I'm sure he'd be proud of everybody involved. It's really neat to tie the Friends in Butler to the Friends in Arizona. And that's sort of the roots of this organization, because the actual first hunt from Outdoor Experience for All, we had Mark and Josh Califoot from Butler and Isaiah Sahani from Butler. So they partook in the antelope hunt that started everything. Mm-hmm. And it's really neat because, you know, my son at the time was just a, you know, teenager. And to this day, Outdoor Experience for All keeps an empty seat at their board meeting for Tom. You know, so it's pretty neat.
Wow.
So the Butler ties to Outdoor Experience for All are very strong. And it just seemed when you're given an opportunity, like when Mike hired me, I said, boy, this is really neat. Maybe we have an opportunity to do something. So we put a plan together, and we're roughing it as we go, because this is this side of it, the Butler side of things, of finding the youth and figuring out how to fund the program and go from there. We've sort of just been step by step figuring it out.
So these the Arizona people, they are regular hunting guides. They lead these tours, but they do special things for these youth with catastrophic diseases. Huh?
I'm amazed. And like I said, we started 10 years ago with one child. Last year, they took 300 children on adventures and hunts, which is pretty impressive for a couple guys that were sitting around a campfire and said, hey, we can do better, you know. So Eddie Corona is the, you know, executive director, and he is just passionate about this. I think, you know, he connected with my son, and he's actually came up to Butler a couple times to visit us, and has become a very close friend. And he's a professional hunter. I mean, he guides people and takes people on hunts all the time, but he's very passionate about the children. And Chris Denham, who is another board member, founder, owns Western Hunter TV show, owns Western Hunter magazine. You know, they're both nationally known. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it gets any better when it comes to hunting guides and experience. And plus, they know the Arizona territory we'll be in. We'll be hunting down in Aravaca, Arizona, which is down close to the Mexican border, with some vast wilderness and awesome terrain and sites that probably not going to see anywhere in Butler County. So
you brought some pictures in fact, some of your son when he was involved. Are these pictures from the magazine, or are these just
those are articles that were in? And actually, the one picture that there was taken in our house shortly before he passed. The guys came up and did a Western Hunter TV show on Tom, and spent a good bit of time in Butler. So like I said, our ties are strong, and it just made sense to try and do it again, you know, make it happen for somebody else.
Now, when I look at some of these pictures, I mean, it's a great program just to bring these young people out there and let them hunt. But, man, oh, man, they're outfitted in camo gear. They've got, because obviously some of these young people and young adults have physical disabilities. So they have arrangements for them to hunt from a wheelchair if they have to?
Yeah, they've been doing it, like I said, for 10 years. And through their experiences, they have actually had a medical staff that's got involved. So the kids have access to medical needs as needed. And then there's an evaluation process you go through to make sure. Because when you do get out away from, you know, hospitals and big cities, you got to make sure that all their medical needs and stuff are covered. But the program takes into mind that we don't want to burden the family, so we try and have all that stuff lined up that if this would happen, we'd be able to go here, or we'd have this person to cover it. And like the camo gear you were speaking about, we spoke to Royal King here in Butler and said, hey, this is what we want to do. And they were great. They said, I didn't even get done telling them all the details. And like, we're involved. How can we help? And they agreed to donate a shopping spree for our hunter to go up there and get his camo gear and get everything put together. So, and that's what we're looking for, people who want to get involved. Because, you know, when you meet these kids, they change your lives. You know, they're so full of passion to do things. And they've sometimes got these restrictions, like, for example, my son, I know that he looked forward to this. So you give him something to look forward to, a goal to set. Yeah. And then if we get out there and say the hunt doesn't go as planned, the harvest doesn't happen, we have a contingency plan where we're going to take them up to the Grand Canyon, do a tour of the Grand Canyon. Outdoor Experience for All has a lot of resources up in the Grand Canyon area where we have a place to stay. We can get a tour. We can do what they're physically able to do. But once again, a site you're probably not going to see in northern Butler County. And then we got a stop in Sedona planned, and then we got a stop in Phoenix. So you're going to not only have an adventure where you're out experiencing a hunt and hopefully a harvest, but you're going to see the world too. You're going to get out of the hospital room. You're going to get away from everything that you're, you know, thinking about on a daily basis, be it treatment or whatever it is that, you know, these kids have to deal with. It's nice just to unplug and say, hey, check this out. This is something I haven't seen before. Yeah. It's something I probably haven't done before, too.
Well, talk a little bit about how you listeners could get involved, if you're so inclined, to help pull this event off. We'll talk about that a little bit. What about kids, young adults, kids who are with a physical disability that they wouldn't be able to hold a rifle correctly? Are there, like tripod mechanisms or something like that could enable them to still shoot?
Well, we worked with the manufacturer a couple of times now on some of these targeting systems that we have, and we have a wheelchair set up there that's all motorized with tracks that has an aiming system on it.
And Larry, it sounds like it's a guided bullet, the way he's smiling here right now.
It's pretty neat how people want to get involved. So we have a couple guys that will, you know, work with the very, very disabled children, and we get champ tags. And champ tag is a way to take the child out, and they can hunt from the back of a vehicle or, you know, a ATV, and they don't have to exert so much, you know, physical ability to do it. So,
this would not be allowed for ordinary hunters.
You know? The tag is specific, you know, for the child. First of all, it's a youth hunt, and then a champ is a youth tag. And we've made so many friends out there with the park rangers, the Border Patrol guys. They all come into our camp and visit us. And a lot of times the first night the Border Patrol give us an initiation in camp where they'll buzz us with the helicopters and wake us all up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
So this is fairly close to in southern Arizona, fairly close to the Mexican border?
Yeah, we're south of Tucson in a little town called Aravaca. We're about 8 miles from the Mexican border. But it's a really cool area of the world. There's an Air Force base there where they actually train the dogfights above us while we're hunting.
So, that would be interesting to see, wouldn't it?
Yeah, like I said, it's something probably not going to see in Western PA.
You mentioned tags, which is another way of saying hunting license, right? So is that what you're talking about?
So in Arizona, you get a hunting license or a permit for a specific unit, and that is all going to be donated by Outdoor Experience for All. We've submitted our potential hunter for one now, and it should all go through. We'll know our deadline was June 1st, and we've met our deadline there. And then we'll get them, and then we'll know exactly when and what unit we're hunting. But it's going to be within the 4 units of the Buenos Aires Natural Preserve down on that area of Aravaca. They're hard to come by. These kids are going to get an opportunity on something that if you and I would put in for a tag, we may not get for a few years. But they're going to have an opportunity to do a desert mule deer, coos deer, and a javelina. So it's a whole lot of fun. Like I said, I volunteered out there. I tried to go every other year, but lately we've gone every year to go out. And I go out and, knowing the area now, just help around in camp. And my son has gone out and volunteered too. So it's been a great experience.
I didn't realize. I knew that out-of-state hunting licenses were expensive. I mean, even if someone who doesn't live in Pennsylvania wants to come to Pennsylvania and hunt, they have to pay an increased fee. But I didn't realize they were hard to get on top of being expensive.
They have a lottery system out there.
Really? And, a lot of people like to go out there to hunt, huh?
Yes, sir. Yeah. It is a great area, and and even getting to the point to hunt, it's an adventure to get to Arizona.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So, and if you have a sick child, it's, you know, double down on the problems that could be presented to get there.
Let's take a break, and we'll talk a little bit more about how folks who are so inclined can get involved to help this all come about. You're listening to the It's Your Turn program here on WISR. One of our sponsors on the program today is the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. They operate a food bank, of course. They have a client aid program, and they have a wonderful thrift store. It's located in the Greater Butler Mart on Route 8 South. This is spring cleaning season. I have a pile of stuff already to go to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. If you're spring cleaning and you end up with clothing or shoes or furniture or household items that you don't need or don't want anymore, consider donating them to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul thrift store instead of just putting them in the trash. They'll sell them there. Somebody will be able to use them at a price they wouldn't ordinarily be able to afford. And the best part of all is every penny of the proceeds of the operation of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul thrift store stay right here in Butler County. Every penny helps to fund their food bank and their client aid program. So it's win-win. Very easy to drop items off. First of all, there's free parking right outside the door in the Greater Butler Mart, and the drop-off bins are right inside the front door. They're open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. The Society of St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in the Greater Butler Mart. Help us so we can help others.
Well, Mr. 60's here. I got to tell you about a fantastic event happening at the Tanglewood Entertainment Center Saturday, May 25th. It's the Mr. 60's Rock and Roll Oldies All Request Dance Party. Let me take you back in time to those sock hops in the gym. I'm going to be playing your favorite songs from the 50s, 60s, and 70s by request. All you have to do is dance the night away. Dust off your poodle skirts and leather jackets and join me and Chef George on Saturday, May 25th for an evening of fun and great food. Doors open at 6 p.m., buffet dinner at 7, and dancing starts at 8 o'clock. As always, BYOB will have a 50-50 drawing and giveaways. Tickets are only $20 each. Be there or be square, as they used to say. That's Saturday, May 25th at the Tanglewood Entertainment Center. For tickets and more info, call 724-287-0021.
Welcome back, friends. We're talking about a wonderful program that allows young adults, kids who have been stricken with catastrophic conditions or disease to go hunting out in Arizona. And it's a program that operates under the auspices of Outdoor Experience for All. With us here in the studio, Deputy Sheriff Walt Widenhofer, along with Butler County Sheriff Mike Sloop. And so, Walt, if there are people listening to us who say, this sounds pretty great, how can I help out? Because you need some funds to cover, like, airline tickets and a rental vehicle and so on. I mean, it's not really cheap to get to Arizona, you know.
No, and that's a hurdle we're trying to, you know, get over. But we're looking for somebody who wants to be involved. You know, like I spoke of Royal King donating the shopping spree for the hunting gear. That's mm-hmm. just awesome. So we're looking for somebody who wants to help change this kid's life.
How can they get contact you, or how can they help?
Well, there's a couple ways we're going to do it. The best and easiest way is through Outdoor Experience for All's website. They have a Donate Now link on their site, and you just have to earmark it for the Butler County Sheriff's Youth Hunt. And that will be placed in an account that is going to go 100% towards Butler County Youth. Now, we are trying to pay for, we don't want to burden the family at all, so we're going to be paying out of that money. We're going to be paying for the flights, the rental car, because we have to travel quite a bit far south whenever we, you know, leave the Phoenix airport, and then we'll be traveling around if we go up to the Grand Canyon and everything. So we could have 10 days or a week of rental car fees, and then mm-hmm. hotels, because once again we want to make the child comfortable and stuff like that. But we are going to use 100% of the donations for the Butler County Youth, and it's going to be earmarked for that.
And if worst comes to worst, they could probably walk into the sheriff's office and drop a check off. Huh?
Yeah, the checks can be dropped off at the sheriff's office. Once again, it's going to go to the same Outdoor Experience for All account, but we're going to need it earmarked and something in the memo saying the sheriff's office youth hunt. So,
by the way, if you're looking for Outdoor Experience for All, it's the number 4, Outdoor Experience, and then the numeral 4, yeah. For All. But I'm sure if you Google it, you could yep. get to the right...
OE4A, yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Outdoor Experience for All, and then Butler County Sheriff's Youth Hunt. We'll go over those instructions again before we wrap up. I have not hunted in many, many years. I did at one time. I didn't realize that they had all of this game in southern Arizona. I don't know. I guess I thought there was nothing there but, you know, roadrunners and sagebrush blowing around and cactus, you know.
Well, you see a lot of cactus, and you will see roadrunners. And the most unique aspect of this hunt are the javelinas. Javelina is a little pig-like mammal that runs around in usually herds of maybe, you know, 5-6 more. And they are very challenging and fun to hunt. So the children have a great time.
So they're like wild pigs that you see in the movies? Yeah, yeah. And they're legal to hunt?
Yes, sir. We're going to provide the tag for the javelina while they're there.
And antelope? They have antelope out there?
They do have antelope a little bit further north, like in the Flagstaff area. We won't be antelope in that area. Coos buck, which is a desert mountain whitetail. And the mule deer are, you know, out there also. So it's a challenge. But the guys, like I said, are world-class guides, world-class hunters. And the success rate is very good.
What's a mule deer, by the way? Is that different from a whitetail?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a trophy. You know, it's a trophy buck that you go out for. And they will have the opportunity to see the mule and the coos deer and the javelina, so it'll keep them busy. There's lots of targets and lots of things to go after.
Can't imagine trying to shoot an antelope. It's one of the fastest animals. I mean, if you were trying to lead an antelope, you know, you'd have to aim way out ahead of it, you know. Yeah. So it would catch up to the bullet by the time it got there. Yeah. You know?
Best wait till they stop.
When do they stop?
But the harvesting the animal is the exclamation point on the adventure. You know, we have the plans of taking them on up to Sedona and to the Grand Canyon. So it's going to be an adventure as a whole with an exclamation point if there's a harvest. You know, because you never know what the hunting level of your child out there will be. And like you mentioned, the difficulty level is probably higher than you would if you were hunting a whitetail in the woods of western Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. There's skill involved, but these guys work so well with the kids.
Are there woodlands out there?
You nailed it when you said cactus.
Just cactus?
Yeah,
is the terrain all flat, or are there some rolling hills every once in a while?
There's nothing flat, and everything's rolling. That's why you could see a deer in one ridge, and by the time you get to the spot where it's a good angle for you, where did it go?
I've never been there, so the pictures in my mind of Arizona are what I see in the movies, you know, I'm seeing total flat land with a cactus once in a while, you know, that and Wile E. Coyote flying by.
You know, Walt and I went to Children's Hospital here not too long ago and spoke with a couple dozen social workers and tell them what we were looking for, and they did provide some names, but there's some children that weren't from Butler County, but with the advertising and then the Butler Eagle and through the radio stations, we think we found a child, and the help of the people of this great community, because it is, we live in a wonderful community in Butler County that can help with this financially. Any money raised over what is needed for this hunt will stay earmarked for us for a Butler County hunt
that we can help sponsor.
Absolutely, that's correct. I want people to know that. It's not a one and done. If we raise more than we need, we're going to keep that money for the next hunt or the next adventure, because not every child is a hunter. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just the look on the face, and I remember when Tom came into the office, and it was, you know, near his death. He was very, very weak. He came in, and we had a nice chat. And, you know, we made him an honorary deputy. And for this child, we're going to do the same thing, give him one of our hats to wear proudly out in Arizona. And just the whole spectrum of this adventure is so heartwarming to me, because you're doing something for a child. Mm. And that's my exclamation point right there.
I agree with the sheriff. And anybody who's ever hunted will know that. You know, if you're able to harvest a deer, that's great. If you're not, it's still a wonderful experience to be on the hunt. And Walt's smiling because you know what I'm talking about, huh?
It was great to be out of the hospital room. My son had been going through lots of treatment, and when we got this opportunity, we sort of put everything else on pause. You know, we'll deal with it when we get back. Let's go out and have an adventure, you know. And I know before Tom's hunt, before he actually harvested an elk out in Arizona, before his hunt, it was all bad news. You know, it was, I got diagnosed, and I got to go through chemo, I got to do radiation. After the hunt, it was like, hey, look what I did.
Yeah.
Hey, I made, I did this. I was here. Check this out.
Look at my pictures, huh?
Yeah. So it, I want to play that forward to the next kid and say that this kid came up and say, look what I did. Look where I went. Look what I accomplished.
Does a parent or guardian go with the young person?
So we, financially, we're going to fly a one parent, but we're going to open our doors out there at the camp to the family members. If they want to bring a second parent or a sibling, we're welcoming them to come with us, but it will be at their expense. Our goal is to fly the patient and or the child and one parent. We're going to cover that expense for them. But our camp is set up to accommodate family members.
So they actually stay at a camp and then go out daily on the hunt? Is that how that works?
So last year we had 12 hunters and we had 60 people in camp. And camp was just as fun. We had a great time. You know, we had campfires at night. We do a lot of different games with the kids and stuff at night. And like I mentioned about, you know, the Border Patrol buzzing us. And the camp was a very...
experience of its own.
Yeah, it was something that you
A scenario that I can picture in my mind's eye and a cool Arizona night with the stars all over the place, and they got the campfire going there and everything. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, so we had a lot of fun, and then the hunt, you know, we break it up because we know we're dealing with youth. So we hunt in the morning early, break of dawn, and then we'll take the lunch break. Whereas you got the option, if you want to go at it and stay out there through the heat of the day, you're more than welcome to. But then we go back out, say, 4 o'clock, and we'll hunt the evening hunt.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't try and create a whole lot of fatigue, but we want to get the most out of the time we got.
Obviously, these people know what they're doing out there, that's for sure. Well, listen, before our time runs out here, I want to go over the details of how people, if they're so inclined, can help out, because that might have been a little confusing when we went through it the first time.
Yeah, so just the best place to do it is through the OE4A website. You know, you can just Google Outdoor Experience for All, and it'll bring you to the website, which has a link to donate here. And they take credit card and PayPal, and they make it easy on you to donate. And just please earmark it for the Butler County Sheriff's Office Youth Hunt. Or you can walk into the Sheriff's Office. We're going to make accommodations that you come in, you can write to check for OE4A, and we'll earmark it for them, and we'll make sure that it goes into their account so that they have it for use for Butler County youth. And like the sheriff had said, we hope this is the beginning of something. We hope that we can move forward to, you know, the next youth or another adventure.
Is there a timetable to this? Are there specific hunting seasons in Arizona?
We will be right around Thanksgiving, and we'd like to have everything in place because obviously you get discounted rates on airfare and stuff like that. So if we can get sponsors who, say a business wants to step up and say, hey, I want to pay for their airfare, we would love that. That would make our job easy, and we wouldn't spend as much time, you know, fundraising as we can be coordinating events for out in Arizona.
Well, Walt, it's nice to have you here. This is a great program. We certainly express our sympathy on the death of your son, but what a way to keep his memory alive, start a program like this.
It's just a great opportunity. I thank Mike every day that he's letting me do this, and I thank you for having us in to talk about it and share it.
That's what we do on this program, so it's good to hear a story like yours. Deputy Walt Widenhofer and Butler County Sheriff Mike Sloop visiting with us today. Good to see you guys.
Thanks, you too. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, sure. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to be chatting by telephone with our next guest. She is Lorna Graham. You may remember, if you lived around here for a while, the so-called Kids for Cash scandal that involved a detention facility for adjudicated youths in northern Butler County. And there was another one in another part of the state. It involved a couple of judges out east. Lorna Graham has been investigating this for several years, and she says it really went bad for one of the judges in particular. She writes about it in a book called Presumption of Guilt. We'll talk to her coming up here on It's Your Turn in just a couple of minutes. Be right back. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location downtown Butler to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Thinking about remodeling or refinancing your home? Armco Credit Union's new HELOC combines the flexibility of a traditional home equity line of credit with the low fixed rate of a home equity loan. Lock in different amounts, rates, and terms up to 20 years under one convenient loan agreement and monthly payment without the hassle of reapplying as your borrowing needs change. It's never been easier to join, so call or visit us at one of our locations or online at armcocu.com to become a member.
Armco Credit Union is an equal housing lender and federally insured by NCUA.
Listeners, you may remember a scandal from several years ago that involved a couple of judges from eastern Pennsylvania and a facility for juveniles here in northern Butler County. Well, our next guest on the It's Your Turn program, Lorna Graham, says there was a lot of misinformation about this case. Lorna Graham, nice to talk with you today. Nice to have you with us.
Hello, Dave. It's nice. Thank you so much for inviting me.
You have written a book that's just coming out this spring entitled A Presumption of Guilt, How the Kids for Cash Scandal Trampled Justice. So what's the story here? Did we not have two corrupt judges or what?
We did have two corrupt judges. That's correct. And they were willing to admit to their guilt for what they did. Their crimes involved accepting millions of dollars in referral fees for the construction of juvenile detention centers, the one in Butler Township that you mentioned, and then there's another one out here in the east in Luzerne County. They took those millions of dollars, and they did not report their acceptance of that money on their financial disclosure forms and on their tax returns. So they were dead to rights, guilty of honest services fraud and tax fraud, and that's what they agreed to plead guilty to, and that's what they actually pled guilty to. But unbeknownst to them, my office also alleged that they had accepted that money in exchange for jailing juveniles. And that's what gave rise to the scandal, and everyone thought they had pled guilty to the scandal, but they did not.
So, what inspired you to write this book, Presumption of Guilt? Do you think that justice was trampled in this case?
I think justice was trampled on many levels. First of all, the accusations of these judges taking money in exchange for jailing juveniles and then not proving it, and then saying they did prove it, I think that's injustice. I think that the Pennsylvania Supreme Court's reaction to the scandal, even though it hadn't been proven, the court dismissed all of the juvenile crimes that occurred when the scandal was supposed to have happened, leaving the victims of those crimes with no justice whatsoever. Their restitution orders were dismissed, orders of protection were dismissed. So that, in addition, it trampled justice.
Our guest, listeners, Lorna Graham, served for a quarter century as an assistant U.S. attorney for the Middle District of Pennsylvania, including a 15-year stint as the Chief of Appeals. Were you personally involved in this case, Lorna Graham?
I was not personally involved in this case. I do know the prosecutors who were involved in the case, but when this case was unfolding, I was quite busy with some official corruption cases of my own, and of course, I was familiar with the allegations. It wasn't until I left the office in 2014 that I had realized the extent of the injustice that was done here. It was then that I read all of the transcripts and all of the documents. I talked to some of the attorneys involved, and I realized this is an injustice that I just had to write about.
By the way, the one facility that you mentioned is in northern Butler County. You mentioned Butler Township. It's actually northern Butler County, and where that facility
is. Oh, please excuse my incorrectness.
No, that's quite all right. By the way, that facility is still there. I think it's still operating, to the best of my knowledge.
Yes, it was called Western PA Child Care, and it was built as a modern juvenile detention facility, and it actually made a lot of money for the owners.
So why do you blame the media in your book for spreading the Kids for Cash scandal?
I blame the media because they took the allegations of a prosecutor at his word without requiring the proof. The Kids for Cash scandal, when it was alleged in 2009, resulted in a hysteria in national media all over the country and some international outlets. Nobody thought just wait and see if the government could prove the case. As a matter of fact, the hysteria got so bad that the three branches of Pennsylvania's government created an interbranch commission on juvenile justice, not to see whether the scandal was real. It assumed the scandal was real and directed the commission to find out how we could heal the juvenile justice system. But the irony of that is, they held hearings, and at those hearings, they called juvenile detention officers, probation officers, juvenile defense lawyers. None of them testified there was a scandal. If anything, they testified there wasn't one.
I'm still a little bit unclear on the fact that there were two judges involved from the eastern part of Pennsylvania. They did accept kickbacks, right?
They did not admit to accepting kickbacks. Well, eventually one did, and that was Michael Conahan. He said in his guilty plea that he accepted the money in part to help create this juvenile detention center, both one out west and one in the east, and use it by the county. He admitted performing certain judicial acts in connection with that, but not detaining juveniles.
And the other judge?
The other judge denied accepting money at all for doing any judicial acts, and he went to trial. And it was at the trial that the government reneged, basically redacted the allegations that gave rise to the scandal. They took it out of the superseding indictment, even stating that they had not proven it.
Then what did he plead guilty?
As a matter of fact, he wasn't convicted of any kind of extortion. He wasn't convicted of bribery. He was basically convicted of money laundering, and that was one of the bases for a racketeering count. But he was not convicted of taking any money to jail juveniles.
So he got the money. He was convicted of not paying taxes on the money, but there was no resolution of how he got the money. I don't quite understand that. It seems like a technicality.
Oh, he got the money, and he didn't report it correctly. So, yes, he was very much guilty of tax fraud, and he was willing to plead guilty to that. The question is, did he accept the money in exchange for jailing juveniles? That was the whole Kids for Cash scandal. He was clearly a corrupt judge. I mean, he violated the law by taking that money and not reporting it and not disclosing it. But he denied ever taking the money to jail juveniles.
Was the case ever appealed, Lorna Graham?
Yes, it was. It went on direct appeal, and I analyzed the appeal. The appellate court assumed there was a Kids for Cash scandal, and it was real, and they actually cite as fact those portions of the indictment that were redacted.
You stepped down from the government. Was it because of this, or why did you stop working for the feds?
Well, there are a couple of reasons. Definitely this book. At the time I left, I wasn't sure exactly what had happened. It took me years because I left in 2014, and I have since discovered all of this. But I also had like the trial of my career, racket, not involved in the judge's case, but I convicted county commissioners of racketeering. And I don't think I would ever see another case like that, so I wanted to go out on a high note as well.
Does it trouble you after your investigation of this case that perhaps the justice system has made other mistakes along the way?
Well, I have an introductory chapter discussing that. There are several cases where you see an abuse of prosecutorial power. I mentioned Alaska Senator Ted Stevens, who was up for re-election, and he was charged by the feds with fraud. He was convicted, lost his re-election, and then after the conviction, it was disclosed that the prosecutor withheld exculpatory evidence. I'm sorry to say that these things do happen, but when they do, they should be highlighted, and then people wake up and see what's going on.
What do you think should be done to reform the legal system to avoid this happening in the future?
Well, the safeguards are in place. They just fell apart in this case. And it had a part of it, in my opinion, had to do with the incredible egregiousness of the allegations, especially when you're dealing with kids. There's a visceral reaction to protect the children, of course. But you shouldn't go there without determining what the factual basis is. And that's what I think needs to be done. Even the presiding judge in this trial, he should have made the government prove the case. He threw out the guilty plea because the judge didn't admit he was jailing kids for money, instead of requiring the government to say, okay, what have you got to establish that fact? The judge just withdrew the guilty plea.
Well, do you have any thoughts on the last year's release of the grand jury report by Josh Shapiro on clergy abuse? Because none of that was proved either, right? It was just a grand jury report.
A grand jury report, yes. And in Pennsylvania, the prosecutors write those reports. It was not necessarily the grand jury who wrote it. And in a grand jury, you don't really get a defense presented. It would be nice to show all the evidence to the grand jury, but sometimes the prosecutors don't. So you're absolutely right.
I want to get back to the case which you write about in your book, Presumption of Guilt, how the Kids for Cash scandal trampled justice. And I did not realize this, that in the aftermath of this case, the courts absolved some of these young people of crimes they had committed. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes. While Shivarella was awaiting his criminal trial, the hysteria, in large part fueled by the media, regarding the acceptance of the reality that there was a Kids for Cash scandal going on, even though it hadn't been proven, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court decided to dismiss all of the cases of juveniles that appeared before Shivarella when this supposed scandal happened. And that resulted in absolutely no justice for the victims of those crimes. The crimes were dismissed, they were expunged, restitution orders were withdrawn, orders for protection against abuse were disappeared. It was a travesty.
What type of judge was Mark Shivarella Jr.?
He was a no-nonsense, zero-tolerance judge. He touted his detention rates. He was elected as a county judge twice based on his promises to be a no-nonsense judge. He even had an advertisement where he stood before a jail cell with the doors slamming shut. He'd go to high schools in the fall and promise the high school students that if they appear before him, they're going away. So he was a pretty tough judge.
Do you have any idea the total number of young adults who appeared before this particular judge?
Well, during the scandal, there were 7,000 cases that were dismissed. So there were quite a few.
But not all of them appeared before him, of course.
The 7,000 cases that were dismissed, they all appeared before him during the supposed scandal time period.
Wow. Seems like an incredibly high number that he had to deal with.
Yes, there was quite a bit. It was over a several years span, though. It was over from 2001 through 2008, 7,000.
Well, it's an interesting story. The title of the book, again, just out this spring, Presumption of Guilt, How the Kids for Cash Scandal Trampled Justice. And the author is Lorna Graham. She's been our guest here on the It's Your Turn program for the past few minutes. Is your book available where we ordinarily find books, or online, or where do we find it, Lorna?
Well, the Kindle version is available on Amazon now, and the Nook version is available on Barnes & Noble now. The hard copy is coming out May 15th. It's available for pre-order. And I have a website with more information if any of your listeners are interested. It's presumptionofguilt.net.
Nice to talk with you, Lorna Graham. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Dave, and you have a great day.
And you too. So long. An interesting story, especially with the local connection with one of those juvenile facilities located in northern Butler County. Story from some years ago. Orla Graham, by the way, our guest was a federal prosecutor for more than 25 years. She has degrees in chemistry and history, political science, law degree from what is now Quinnipiac University. And the title of her book is Presumption of Guilt, How the Kids for Cash Scandal Trampled Justice. Orla Graham. One of our sponsors on the program today is Goan Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. They package your items for shipping. Very convenient. Very affordable, too. And very fast. I've utilized their service. They're located in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex. That is right behind King's and Villa Grande Restaurant on Newcastle Road here in Butler. Shockey Lane. So what do they do? Well, you take your items. You have items you need to ship. You take them to Goan Postal Butler, and they'll package them up and ship them out. You don't have to worry about finding the right size box or the bubble wrap or the mailing labels or that special tape or anything like that. You can ship any way you want. U.S. Postal Service, UPS, FedEx, that's your choice. They have other services, too, available at Goan Postal Butler, copying, scanning, faxing. You can rent a temporary mailbox there if you so desire. They even have an official notary if you need something notarized before it's shipped out. They are open Monday through Friday. You can call Goan Postal Butler for more information. Phone 724-841-0044. It's your friendly neighborhood shipping center, Goan Postal Butler. One of our other sponsors is Schnoor's Greenhouse. Schnoor's, family-owned and operated since 1889. What a great place to get your flowers, your hanging baskets, and your vegetable plants. And they are loaded. Very knowledgeable staff, too, if you need some help. Very friendly service. They specialize in annuals, in hanging baskets, a wide variety of just gorgeous hanging baskets, and vegetable plants, too. And this is the time when a lot of folks wait to put in their vegetable plants, you know? Right around Memorial Day weekend coming up. And again, a tremendous selection from which to choose at Schnoor's Greenhouse. Just about any flower or plant you can imagine, they've got it. They have gift cards, too. Located off Herman Road, look for Schnoor Road near the RC Men's Club. Schnoor's Greenhouse. Family-owned and operated since 1889, celebrating 130 years in business. Wow. Butler's longtime trusted greenhouse. Their hours, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday, 8 to 5, and Sunday, 11 to 5. Schnoor's Greenhouse. Since 1889, it's been the place to grow. Listeners, coming up on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, I'm Dave Malarkey. We're going to be talking about Medicare. This will be of interest to seniors. There have been some recent proposed changes to Medicare that could have a widespread impact. Medicare was created back in the mid-1960s, a program to ensure that seniors have safe and affordable access to health care. However, some of the proposed changes to the program could impact access to medicine for seniors. Joining us now to talk about this, Dr. Michael Seiden. He's president of the U.S. Oncology Network. Doctor, can you tell us about some of these proposed changes to Medicare? What's up here?
Well, the administration has been interested in approaches to lower drug costs. And while we were in support of having affordable health care for all of our seniors, one of the changes they proposed, called the IPI program, looks to change the way seniors get access to IV medications. These are called Part B medications. These are medications that are typically used to treat serious life-threatening diseases such as cancer. And the proposal is to reset drug prices so that they are more closely aligned to the costs that these drugs are charged in foreign countries, 14 different countries in Europe and around the world.
So how would these changes impact how patients get access to these drugs?
Well, you know, I think the main thing that we're concerned about is it potentially impacts access for the patients. Now the physician can prescribe the drug he thinks or she thinks is best for the patient, can make the appropriate adjustments in the drug the day the patient comes in to be treated. In this system, the IPI system, they're inserting a third party, a vendor who's off-site to deliver the drugs for the Medicare patients. This will add another middleman into the process, will make access for the drugs to the patients a little bit more complicated, and may, in some cases, limit the ability of Medicare patients to have access to drugs they need in a timely fashion.
I just want to make sure I'm clear on this, Dr. Michael Seiden. I thought you mentioned a moment or so ago Part B. I thought that it was Part D of Medicare that had to do with drug access. Am I wrong on this?
So there are limitations on both Part B and Part D. Part B are the drugs which are typically given in a physician's office or in a hospital setting where the drugs are given usually intravenously. The Part D covered medications are the oral medications. Medicare has begun to put regulations or changes in how Medicare patients get Part D drugs as well, something where the Medicare Advantage plans can build more complicated formularies that make it more difficult for a physician to prescribe the drug he or she wants for a patient without going through a series of steps.
So if you're... No, go ahead. Go ahead, doctor, please.
Yeah, I think in general we've been strong proponents to not interrupt the physician-patient relationship. We believe strongly that physicians should have the ability to decide which medications are best for patients. This is typically the way it works in most commercial plans for, you know, individuals who are not in the Medicare population. And we'd like to see that those same medical practices extend to the Medicare population as well.
So if you in the U.S. Oncology Network are concerned about this proposed these proposed changes by the administration, do you have any ideas yourselves on how we can reduce costs of drugs?
Yeah, thanks for asking, Dave. We've been involved and have been very strong partners with the Medicare program in looking at value-based care programs where we work with Medicare and with the patients we treat to try to control the overall cancer care costs. So this includes costs spent on drugs, use of emergency rooms in hospitals, and we are beginning to redesign our practices, extending hours, bringing in navigators, trying to identify vulnerable patients to reduce the risk that these patients end up in emergency rooms or hospitals. And we've demonstrated that we've saved Medicare millions of dollars by doing this. These programs take several years to implement and optimize. We're about 3 years into that journey. I think the new programs that the administration is considering would really derail a lot of those efforts that are well underway. And we've encouraged CMS and members of the administration to give us some additional time to continue to optimize these programs, because in the last 2 or 3 years, we've really seen results. And I will say that the patients in general in these value-based programs have very much appreciated the changes, meaning we've hired more individual social workers, navigators, and people to support cancer patients during the cancer journey. The changes we've made in these new programs have really been designed to provide a better patient experience. Some of the newer programs that have been proposed will be quite disruptive.
One final question, and a quick one, but a very important one, I think, Doctor. What can seniors do if they're concerned about these proposed changes by the Trump administration?
Yeah, I think it's important that the seniors reach out to their representatives in Congress and in the House and in the Senate and tell them that they'd like access to the medications that they need and to minimize the disruption physicians experience in delivering the best care for the patients in as timely a manner as possible. Restrictions that handcuff physicians or add to additional complexity in getting the patients the care they need really need to be discouraged.
Dr. Michael Seiden is president of the U.S. Oncology Network. Thanks, Doctor. Nice to talk with you today, sir.
Thanks, David.
$3. Not too much $3 can buy these days, not even a gallon of gas. Fortunately, with the Butler Transit Authority, $3 provides you with all-day transportation with over 250 local Butler bus stops. Butler Transit can get you to all the major Butler shopping destinations, medical facilities, downtown, and much more. Visit our downtown bus terminal on West Newcastle Street or on the web at butlertransit.com.
Do you have missing teeth or wear dentures? You may have heard of or are considering dental implants. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Todd of Butler Smiles Dental Care. There are many options available with dental implants, and making the right choice can be confusing. I have been placing dental implants since 2004, both full-size traditional implants and small diameter or mini dental implants. There are indications for both, but more and more we are using mini dental implants in a variety of innovative ways. They are easier to place, causing less discomfort, are less costly, and can frequently be used immediately after placement, allowing you to get back to eating the foods you like or smiling again right away. Traditional implants typically have a 4-month healing time before they can be used. I invite you to call our office at 282-7774 to schedule a free consultation to see if mini dental implants are the right solution for your dental problems, or visit us on the web at butlersmiles.com.
And he drives it through the middle, base hit. Frazier's going to score, and the Pirates have the lead in the 10th.
Hey, Pirates fans, the Buccos play right here on WISR 680 AM. Pirates Baseball is brought to you in part by the Visiting Nurses Association, Thrower Concrete, Cash Dollar and Associates, Cunningham Shaner, Butler Smiles Dental Care, Schneider's 1-Hour Heating and Air Conditioning, and Dr. Steven Henneberger. The big games, the big hits, the big pitches are going to be heard right here all season long on your hometown radio station, WISR 680 AM.
The Butler Radio Network Marketing Department specializes in helping local businesses grow through cost-effective, targeted advertising. With the right audience and enough frequency, your advertising dollars can provide a tangible return on investment. Our goal is to make your job easier by providing radio for every lifestyle, meaning with unique radio formats, we can reach enough of the right customers to positively impact your business. The secret formula for advertising success comes down to this: what you say times how many times you say it. Call us today for more information or visit our website at butlerradio.com and click on advertising. The Butler Radio Network family of radio stations. We live here, we employ here, we spend our money here, and we'll help your business make more money. I'm Kathy Gregory Steiner, and I love what we do.
Partly sunny skies today with a high of 78, an evening thunderstorm possible with a low down to 65. Same kind of forecast on Thursday with a high of 83, a low down to 60, and then some sunshine on Friday with a high of 77. Saturday and Sunday expect some clouds, a high of 83 Saturday, 80 on Sunday.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.